Paul says, for we must, it is certain, loved one, all of us, every believer, we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ or the bema seat of Christ, that one may receive the things done in the body according to what he has done, whether good or bad. But again, the bema seat of Christ is a place of rewards.
Why do you run from me? I just don't understand. I'm reaching out for you.
Are you running from the love of God? God's love never fails. Welcome to Love Never Fails, the radio ministry of Calvary Chapel, Fort Worth, with Pastor Bill Quinn.
We hope you're having a great day so far, and we're delighted to welcome you to Love Never Fails. We're currently airing Pastor Bill's in-depth study from the New Testament epistle of Philippians. Today, Pastor concludes the message, "And this I pray." Let's listen in.
All the things that are vital for us are found in God's word. Amen. You talk about joy that starts filling your heart because you find the answer right there. He says that you may approve the things that are vital, what are most important, what's best, in other words, and be sincere without offense till the day of Christ. The word approve there is used for testing of a metal to make sure that it's pure and so forth. The New Living Translation puts it this way, that you may understand what really matters. Phillips translation, which I like, I want you to always recognize the highest and the best. But this one is a translation I really like because it explains it perfectly. It's the English version, that you may be able to discern. We have to have that discernment, God's discernment, God's knowledge, amen? That you may have that, be able to discern what is best. Listen to me. The agape of God, the love of God, always seeks what is best for others. Amen? Because that's what God's love does. It always seeks what's best for other people. But what is best, sometimes it's not easily discerned. Amen? I mean, let's say that, you know, the service is over and I say, you know what? I played the lottery and I won. Come on. I don't do that. But I'm just giving you an example. And so I have $1,000. And I say, you know what? Here's what we're going to do. We're going to all go down to, what's that chicken place? Babe's, thank you. Now everybody's ruined. No, we're going to go to Babe's. We're going to get fried chicken. They're going to bring it out in platters. There's going to be gravy. There's going to be biscuits that are so hot the butter melts into your hand as you pour the molasses and that honey on it. And you grab, you don't care anymore. You're eating, just slobber. You grab the green, you grab those green beans with your hands and shove them in. Now, that may be good, but is it what's best? No. What's best is a piece of stinking chicken that's skinless and baked and no salt and no pepper and no butter and broccoli that's so hard you can't chew it and no iced tea but water. Do you understand the difference? You have to know how to discern these things. Listen, that's very important. But here's the deal. Loved one, listen, it's not easy. And here's the problem. We, as believers, we cannot examine, we cannot approve, we cannot discern what is best without the agape of God and the knowledge of God's word. Amen? It can't happen. 2 Timothy 3:16, for Scripture, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine. Profitable. No, for what is right. It is profitable for reproof, what's not right. It's profitable for correction, how to get right. It's profitable for instruction in righteousness, meaning how to stay right. And it says that the man of God, that the woman of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. Without the knowledge of God's word, without the agape of God, you operating the knowledge that way with his love, without God's discernment, which you get from the Word of God and the power of the Holy Spirit. Loved one, you're not complete. We have to have the Word of God, amen? We have to have the knowledge of the Word of God. And we have to beware what we approve, because if we approve things that are wrong and we believe they're true, they stay right there, don't they? And they can get us in a lot of trouble. So the purpose of all of the knowledge, the discernment of God, and us approving all of this, approving what is vital. The purpose of all of it is so we'll know what to do. You know, when we get over to chapter 3, verse 10, like I quoted earlier, listen, the goal of the believer is to know him, to know Jesus intimately, sincerely, to walk with him, to travel with him through this life, to follow him, amen? To experience our Lord, to experience the Holy Spirit, the power of God. You know, remember what's vital, for example, in Martha and Mary. Remember when Jesus was at their house and Martha was all upset because she was in there doing the dishes and cooking and everything and you know, went out and said, Lord, can you not make my sister come in here and work with me? You know, oh, I love the Lord. Oh, Martha, Martha, you're so troubled. You're troubled about many things. Get back in that kitchen. No, he didn't. No, what did he do? He looked at them both, Mary and Martha, because see, where was Mary at? At the feet. And Jesus looked, and you know what he said? He said in Luke 10:42, he says, but one thing is needed. One thing is vital. One thing, it needs to be approved with excellence. Are you following me? He says, one thing is needed, and Mary has chosen that good part, which will never be taken away from her, meaning she was at the feet of the Lord. She was listening to the Lord. Loved one, verse 9 and 10, they are vital. They are vital that you put those into practice and you talk about joy. You'll find out, you know, you'll find out how to live, how to improve your marriage. You get where I'm going. You can approve it because the Word of God tells us the knowledge of God. Now, look at verse 10. That you approve the things, again, what things? The things that are excellent, the things that are vital, and that you may be sincere, without offense, till the day of Christ, meaning the rapture of the church. The word sincere there means to be tested by sunlight. Matter of fact, the first part of that word means sun. And so it means that you could be held up to the light, if you will. And when they saw you, you're transparent, you're pure, you are a person of integrity. The other word there, when it tells us, what's the next word? Without offense. That word talks about that we don't lead others astray. We're not a stumbling block for our brother or our sister. We don't lead them into sin. Amen? And then it tells us, till the day of Christ. The catch away of the church when we're removed. Praise the Lord. And we're going to stand before the one who died for us, the one who loves us, the one who will never leave us nor forsake us, and the one who paid the penalty of our sin debt. And his name is Jesus Christ. And he is going to judge us. Amen? The life that we lived on this earth. And that's called the Bema Seat of Christ. That's a place of rewards. It's not the white grave, white throne judgment, we're not going there. Amen? It says in 2 Corinthians 5:10, Paul says, for we must, it is certain, loved one, there's no escape. All of us, every believer, we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ or the Bema Seat of Christ. And why? That one may receive the things done in the body, our life on earth, according to what he has done, whether good or bad. But again, the Bema Seat of Christ is a place of rewards. So we need to be sincere and love people and do what God says until the day we go home. Verse 11, he says, this I pray, that you're being filled with the fruits of righteousness, which are, or which literally come by Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of God. Now, this right here is a process, isn't it? Remember Philippians 1:6, being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will complete it until the very day of Christ. This is a process. This is a work of the Holy Spirit in the life of the believer. We cannot produce fruit on our own. Amen? No, it's impossible. It cannot be humanly generated. The Bible says, or Jesus said this, he said in John 15:5, I am the vine, you're the branches. He who abides in me and I in him, here's the result, bears much fruit. And then Jesus says, for without me you can do nothing. Look that word nothing up in the dictionary. You know what it means? Nothing. We need the Lord. Everything that we do, we need the Lord, loved one. Jesus said in John 15:16, he said, you didn't choose me. I chose you. Aren't you glad Jesus chose you? He chose you. When did he choose you? Ephesians 1:4, you were chosen in Jesus. When? Before the foundations of the earth, before time began. Dear Lord, he says, I have appointed you, I have set you apart that you would go, you're an ambassador of Christ, that you would go and bear much fruit. And what all the fruit that we bear, is it our fruit? No. Is it our righteousness? No, it's the righteousness of Christ. It's the fruit of the Holy Spirit. Remember Galatians? The fruit of the Spirit is, not Bill. Bill's fruit is. It's the fruit of the Holy Spirit producing it in my life. Amen? The fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, and so forth. No. So Paul, in that prison cell, man, he's praying. All that we do, it should bring glory to the Lord. You know, Matthew 5:16, Jesus said, let your light shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify, not you, but your Father is in heaven. Now listen very carefully. We're not through. I just need 10 minutes. That's all I need. 20 maybe. No. These verses are critical. 11, we understand. It's an easy scripture to understand. But verse 9 and 10, they are, you have to get this into your heart. I mean, I wish I was like a big, smart scholar, but I'm just a simple old man. If I have anything going for me, it's only the Lord. Do you understand? I wish I could articulate it from my heart, how deep these scriptures are and how much I want to live in them and how much I want you to live in them. I want this for me. I want this for you. So how is there any way that we can make some sort of application to where we can actually start living and abounding in approving and all the things that are excellent that we know that we have the knowledge of God, the love of God, the discernment of God? Are you following me? Well, here's how. I want you to turn in your Bible and to the Old Testament, Proverbs chapter 2, verse 1. We're going to make a quick application, then we're going to go have chicken, okay? Let me read a scripture while you're turning there. It says in Colossians 2:3, in whom, meaning Jesus, our Lord, our Savior, in him are hidden, listen to me, all, not some, all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Did you hear that? Not hidden from us, the hidden for us. Everything we need, we have the greatest source of knowledge and discernment and love in all this world. Amen? And it's always found in Jesus. Man, it's perfect. It's unchangeable. It is divine. Now, if you want that treasure, it begins in Proverbs chapter 2, verses 1. If you want 9 and 10 of Philippians to come alive in your heart, this is where we put it into practice. Look at it. My son, and what's that next word? If. That means there's a condition. That means there's something you have to do, okay? If you want these promises in your life, this is something you have to do. It says, my son, if you receive, if you welcome my what? My words, and if you treasure my commands, where? Within you, so that you incline your ear to wisdom, that's the wisdom of God, and apply your heart to understanding, which is the knowledge of God, which is the Holy Scriptures. Loved one, listen, what was the first thing you do? You welcome the word, the knowledge of God into your life. And listen, you have to do that every day. You know, this week has been a tough week for me. I'm not complaining. It's just been a tough week. And my time, my quiet time, and my Bible study, just for my personal study, you know, not preparing, but for me, you understand, has been kind of stolen. I have felt weak all week. Do you understand? Because I want to bask in the word. You know, I always, when I open my Bible, I say, oh Lord, like the scripture says, show me wondrous things from thy word. Amen. When wondrous things come into your heart, what happens? You have the joy of the Lord. All of a sudden, your spiritual step is a little better, a little quicker, solid, if you will. Amen. And so it's so important. So he says, the first thing you do, you're going to have to welcome, receive. Come on and get into the Word of God every day, every day. And the next step, it says treasure it. Treasure His commands. And that means to store up the Word of God in your heart. The third thing, look at it. Incline your ear. Incline your ear. Okay, that means you just read it. You read it out loud or whatever. That means now what you heard, you put into practice. Does that make sense? That's what we need to do. If you want to live in verse 9 and 10 in Philippians, that's your very first step right there. He says, and yes, in verse 3, there's that word again, if. If you have to do something. If you cry out for discernment, is that one of the things that we need? Yes, it is. We just learned that. If you cry out for discernment, if you lift up your voice for understanding, what is he saying there? He's saying that you need to have a prayer time. That's what that is. If you're going to cry out, if you're going to lift up your voice, that means prayer. Every day you have to be in prayer. It's not that you have to be, you get to be. Amen? Now, let's go on. Here's that word again, if. If you seek her, what is that? God's wisdom, God's knowledge, God's discernment. If you seek that as what? Silver. Man, in other words, think about if you knew right now there was a 20 tons of silver out there by the cross, would you go dig it up? You better believe it. We'd fight for it. You know I'm just joking. If you seek God's knowledge as silver, search for her, God's knowledge, as for hidden treasures. What does that mean? It means you start digging. You start mining. You have to move stuff out of the way. You have to move distractions out of your life. You say, this is my time. This is my time to be in the Word of God, and no one's going to steal it from me. No one's going to steal my treasure. He says, then, everyone say that word, then. That's a great word. Then and only then you will. This is a promise. You will understand the fear of the Lord and watch this and find what? There it is. You will find the knowledge of God. Man, obtaining the knowledge of God is not found in just a simple devotional. I love devotionals. I have three that I love and go through. But that's just going through a devotional. It's not found in just, oh, I'm sitting here hearing the Word of God. Yes, this is how you grow, okay? Faith cometh by hearing and by hearing the Word of God, amen? But you have to apply what you hear. So this is when you start digging and digging and digging into God's Word. You know, after all these years, like when you've heard me say this before, John 3:16 means more to me this very second than it did 40 some odd years ago. Do you understand? I didn't understand it when I was a young baby Christian. I mean, I knew, okay, God loved me. He loved me so much he gave his only son that I not perish. I wouldn't go to hell, but I have everlasting life. But do you understand? But once you, as time goes by, the Word of God in your heart, when you meditate, when you study it, when you take notes, when you write and say, Lord, I really want to understand this word. I want to really understand what you really mean. You start growing. You start abounding in things that are vital. And not only that, you approve things that are excellent. Excellent. And you know what happens? There's a joy that starts filling your heart. That's why Paul prayed that prayer. And I look and I say, oh, Lord, all we have to do is dig. Why? Verse 6, for the Lord gives wisdom. From his mouth comes what? Knowledge. And it comes understanding. Discernment. He stores up. He treasures up what? Sound wisdom for the upright. He's the shield to those who walk uprightly. Listen, you want the wisdom of God? Here's how you do it. Apply the knowledge of God and you'll have the wisdom of God. Amen? That's what we need to do. Listen, Jesus told us, he said, whoever hears these sayings of mine and doeth them, I liken them to a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the winds came and the waves came, the storms of life came. Did that house fall? No. But he who hears these sayings of mine, Jesus said, and doeth them not, I liken him unto a foolish man who built his house, his life, on sand. And you know the story. That house fell, didn't it? We are living in times right now that we truly need spiritual discernment of the things that are going on. There's like a warfare in the heavenlies like I have never seen. It's like every day it's a war, isn't it? And the things that we're experiencing, the things that we're going through, the fear of the vaccine, or the fear of not getting the vaccine, the fear of all the things that we're facing. Loved one, listen, I'm going to tell you what we need to do right now, because we're in dangerous times. Our nation is in dangerous times. Today, the church must move away from churchianity and move into Christianity. We must run from the tree of knowledge of good and evil. See, the tree was good, but it was also evil. Does that make sense? See, it only produces death. Knowledge of this world, the wisdom of this world, is foolishness unto God. Boy, we need the knowledge of God. Apply the knowledge of God. We need to run from the world system, loved one, and we need to embrace the tree of life, meaning the one who hung him on the tree. His name is Jesus Christ. Amen. Listen carefully. One more scripture, and then we're going to have chicken. Proverbs 1:7. You know this scripture with all your heart. I know you do. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of what? Knowledge. Did you see that? The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. Listen, the fear of the Lord. You love the Lord. You want to obey the Lord. You're under the grace of God, that you have the power of God, and you have the word of God. Listen, if you haven't started with the fear of the Lord, then you haven't even started. It says the fear of the Lord is the beginning. That's the starting place. The starting place. That's the beginning of knowledge, of finding knowledge, knowing that God's word is alive, that it's real, that it will mature you, it will grow you up. Let me give you one more scripture. I know I said that was the last one, but I'm going to do it anyway. You know what happens when we run away from the knowledge of God? We don't apply the knowledge of God. Listen carefully. It says, because they hated knowledge, meaning God's knowledge, and they didn't choose the fear of the Lord, well, they would have none of his counsel. They despised his every rebuke. Therefore, they're going to eat the fruit of their own way and be filled to the full with their own fancies. But whoever listens to me, whoever says, Lord, I have your love plus your knowledge plus your discernment, I can approve things that are excellent. Amen. He says, whoever listens to me, to the word of God, to the knowledge of God, whoever listens to me will dwell safely and be secure without fear of evil. God is so good. That's what we need. That's where we need. Don't neglect the word of God, loved one. Don't neglect it. Man, it is your treasure. Don't let the devil come and steal his word. That's what he does. He loves to steal the word out of the heart. Remember the parable of the sower, the tares and all that? Yeah, don't let him do that. No, and you know what? Maybe you're here. You don't know the Lord. You know what the devil's doing? Man, he doesn't want you. Here's what you're saying. I wish that old man would shut up. I want out of here. You're probably listening on the radio right now. Maybe you're at your home. Maybe you're in your car. Maybe you're on your lunch break. Because if it's on the radio, it is on your lunch break. You don't know Jesus. He knows you. Let me tell you how much he loves you and knows you. He died for you. He paid your sin debt. And he wants you to be with him forever and ever. But there's only one way you can do that. You confess with your mouth, Jesus, be my Lord. And believe in your heart that God raised Jesus from the dead. And God says, I'll save you if you believe that, if you confess that. So if you're here in this chapel, you're there listening live, why don't you do it right now? Say, Jesus, be my Lord. I confess you with my mouth. And I believe in my heart that God raised you from the dead. Save me. And he will save you in the chair, in your car, in your home, or on your lunch break. Father, we praise you. We thank you for the glorious word of God that you have exalted above your very name. Oh, Lord, I pray in Jesus' name that the sheep of your pasture tonight, tomorrow, that they'll go back and re-examine verses 9 and 10 and 11 and let it come alive in their hearts. We give you praise and glory in Jesus' name. And the church says, amen.
Pastor Bill will be back tomorrow to finish out the week with more of his series in Philippians. And we trust you'll tune in once again. Thanks, everyone, for spending some of your day with us, and so long for today. If you'd like more information regarding Calvary Chapel Fort Worth, Love Never Fails International, or the Love Never Fails radio broadcast, please visit our website at ccfortworth.org or download the CCFW app.
Pastor Bill would also like to personally invite you to join us for any of our three services here at Calvary Chapel Fort Worth. For service times and directions, please visit ccfortworth.org or call our toll-free number, 866-729-1999. That's 866-729-1999. If you're unable to worship with us in person, our live streaming allows you to join us virtually via the CCFW app, Apple TV, Facebook, YouTube, or our Roku channel. So, until our next broadcast, may we encourage you with these words. Love bears, believes, hopes, and endures all things. Love never fails.